Good evening, Central Baptist Church friends and family, and welcome to this April the 8th, Wednesday evening Bible study. In just a few moments, we're actually going to be looking at passages that come out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to that particular passage. If not, you can press pause while you go find it, and then we'll pick it up from there. But I want to thank you for joining us. We're going to look at some interesting scriptures in our Bible study this week relating to Mark chapter 10 and talking about servanthood. You know, when it comes down to servanthood, there's a lot of folks who don't necessarily like that word. Sometimes it brings up some different connotations. You know, most people like for people to serve them rather than being ones to serve. And Jesus taught a very, very important lesson to his disciples in regard to servanthood out of these passages. Look with me, if you would, at Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We're going to begin reading at verse 35. Mark, chapter 10, beginning at verse 35, it says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, verse 37, 'Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in glory.' But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' They said to him, 'We are.' So Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared.'" Verse 41, "And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be the first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to you now, we thank you so much for this opportunity to learn from your word. Once again, as we go through these trying times, we ask that you would help us, that you would give us understanding into your word, and that you would teach us some great lessons in this time that we're slowed way down. Lord, in many cases, many of us have just stopped. We've had to stop in life because of this virus condition. So Lord, help us to redeem the time. Help us, Lord, to draw close to you in the midst of this trial and temptation, that as we come through it, we will be forever changed. Help us to learn tonight, Father, from your word, what it means to be a servant. And Lord, may we never make the mistake that a couple of your disciples made in these particular passages. So bless our time, Father, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these particular passages, we kind of get a feel for what is taking place and going on as Jesus is working to train his disciples. He's trying to let them know what is forthcoming in regard to the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. But as we read and gather with his disciples just didn't get it all the way through the time of the crucifixion. You know, as we kind of fast forward a little bit, what we'll be looking at this coming Sunday in regard to the resurrection, after Christ was crucified, they weren't all sitting there waiting and saying, "Hey, we've only got 3 days left, and then Jesus is going to spring forth from that tomb." In fact, they were probably gathered and they were waiting around to see what was going to be next. You know, am I going to be going back to fishing? Am I going to be going back to being a doctor? And for them, it was just the end of something that was very precious at the time. But they had not heeded the words of the master in regard to the fact that he would be resurrecting in 3 days. Now, I want us to think about this for just a moment as we look at what he was trying to teach them in regard to being a servant. The same lessons that Jesus was teaching his disciples are the same lessons that he wants you and I to learn from His Word. For a moment, I want you to think about somebody that's great in your life. Somebody that, if I were to say to you, tell me somebody great in your life, a name or an image kind of pops in, straight into your mind, brings a smile to your face. This is somebody that you really, really want to be around. And I want you to ponder for just a few moments about what is it that makes that person great? What are the qualities that they have? What are the things that you saw in them that said, you know, I really want to walk with them and talk with them. I want to glean from them. I want to be like them. What were those qualities that that you saw in folks that made them great? I want you to think about that as we look at some various passages out of Mark chapter 10. Because what was going on was there was a request made of Jesus of a couple of his disciples. Look down in verse 37. Verse 37 says this. It says, they said to him, and you know what we're talking about is James and John. They actually asked Jesus in verse 37. They said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in glory. Think about that question for a moment. Do you actually think that they really understood what they were asking Jesus? You know, ponder that for just a moment. Let that kind of roll around, you know, in your head. You know, when they ask that particular question, it's a question that a lot of it depends on what their mindset was and what they were thinking as they asked that question. You have to remember that all of the people were kind of looking for somebody to deliver them from Rome at that time. And there's also a passage in the New Testament that talks about the fact that Jesus had many other disciples that were following him. And when Jesus began to talk about what it meant to be a disciple, and when those folks began to see and understand that this didn't have to do with Jesus being king, didn't have to do with crowns and all the things that were associated in the royal priesthood as they knew it. In other words, they weren't going to be part of Jesus' cabinet. There wasn't going to be power to be had along the way in the fashion in which they were thinking about it. And we know that according to the New Testament that many of those disciples left. And Jesus kind of turned to those that I call it his inner circle, the 12, and said, do you want to leave as well? And they stuck with him. But all of a sudden, you still have two of them. You got James and John asking Jesus. They say, hey, do us a favor. Yeah, here's what we would like to have. Let one of us sit on the right hand, your right hand, and one of us sit on the other. See, these guys still hadn't quite put it together what Jesus was trying to accomplish in the way of redemption for each and every one of us. They were still kind of looking at it from that royal priesthood that was known to so many others along the way. So in all actuality, I don't really think that they understood the question that they were asking Jesus. Now, down there in verse 38, we see what Jesus said to him. Jesus said this. He said, you do not know what you ask. And then he kind of asked them a question in return. He says, are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Let me pause there for just a moment, because when we think about those type things, what was Jesus talking about when he was asking them, are you able to drink of the cup that I'm about to drink? We know that Jesus lived his life sinless. We know that to be able to pay the price for each and every sin, past, present, and future, for every person that ever was and ever will be born on the face of this planet, Jesus had to have lived that sinless life. Jesus was going to have to go through many things. As we're in the midst of Holy Week and heading into Good Friday, which is the time in which the crucifixion took place, we know that the Word tells us that there were many things that happened to Jesus along the way of that trial. It talks how he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. It talks about how he was crowned with that crown of thorns. And all this he did for you and I. And the disciples didn't see that at that particular moment, but what Jesus was simply asking them was this. He said, are you able to do that? You know, essentially, did you live a sinless life? Would your life be able to be the ransom for many? Do you understand what you are asking if you were to take my place? And they didn't. They had no idea. Look again, verse 38. Jesus said, but Jesus answered them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? The actual answer to that question is no. And it says, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. And the ironic answer that these two disciples gave in verse 39 was this. Look at it. It's almost hilarious when you read it. But they said to him, we are able. No, they weren't. They weren't able to do or accomplish what Jesus could do or accomplish. You know, but they felt like they were because they were still viewing it from a worldly or an earthly viewpoint. They were still looking at it as more of a power position and that Jesus was going to be on the throne as they knew it. Not necessarily in a spiritual way, but in more of a political type way. Verse 39 says, and they said to him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, he kind of goes into explain to them that they're not. Jesus said to them, verse 39, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. What he was letting them know was that they were going to suffer in the same manner that he did. They were going to be beaten. They were going to be martyred. There were those that were going to lose their lives for the sake of the gospel. And he said, well, yeah, you're going to be able to drink of that particular aspect of the cup from which I drink. But then he goes on and he says in verse 40, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared for. Verse 41 says, when you think about it, we start to begin to understand how the other disciples felt about this question that had been asked by two of them. Verse 41 says, and when the 10 heard it, that's the other 10, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Now, for a moment, I want you to ask yourself the question, why were they displeased with James and John? Was it because they were so spiritual? Was it because they felt like that was a ridiculous question that the other two disciples had asked of Jesus? Or did they feel like, golly, Pete, man, maybe I should have asked first. They beat me to the punch. Maybe they as well had the same idea that Jesus was going to be more of a political ruler or a political king as opposed to a spiritual king. There could be multiple reasons why they became a little indignant with this. But verse 41 says, then when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But down in verse 42, it says, but Jesus called them to himself, and he said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. He began to kind of point out how the rulers over the Gentiles were not looked upon favorably because they lorded over them. A few minutes ago, I asked you to kind of think of a person in your mind that you considered a great person and what the qualities of that particular person that make you think they're great. I know that if I ask that question, and I've asked it before out in to the general public, and I say, well, you know, here's a person that you have considered great in your life. What made them great? You know, a lot of times it was a supervisor, somebody at work, and one of the things that they would always say is this: as a leader, that person never would ask me to do anything that they weren't willing to do themselves. Jesus was trying to teach many things to his disciples. And when we look at that particular verse, he was pointing out that the rulers over the Gentiles kind of ruled with an iron fist. In other words, it wasn't that they weren't people that folks were looking at saying, oh, those are great leaders. They were looking at them saying, that guy's tough right there. And obviously, I would not want to be like him if I was a leader. And he says he exercised great authority over them. But then verse 43 says, yet it shall not be so among you. Jesus was saying, I don't want you to be that sort of a ruler or that sort of an authority. I don't want you to lord over people. What was it that he said? He said at verse 43, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, great among you shall be your servants. So he said, you know what? If you want to be the one that's great, you need to be the one that's a servant. Yeah, I'm asking you today, as you ponder and think about your life, what type of a servant are you? Are you the type of a servant of first and foremost to our Lord and Savior? Because here's what the Lord is telling us in these particular passages. He's saying that if you want to be something in the kingdom, then you become a servant. Yeah, most people don't like to be servants. Most people like to be served. we're not really good at times with self-serve. If we walk into a restaurant, you know, obviously nobody's going to say, go help yourself. You want somebody to come over, take your order, bring your food to you. We like it when people serve us. It's a different story when it comes time to be served. I often think about the time that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, the humility that was shown in that particular act. I've actually done that in person before. I remember one time that at a deacon ordination in our church, we had a foot washing that took place here, because it really expresses the humility that it takes for one human being to do that for another human being. So I want to ask you, what type of a servant are you? Because Jesus is basically saying that if you want to be a person that's going to be great in the kingdom, you need to be one who serves. First of all, you serve him, and then you serve your fellow mankind. Verse 43 says, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servants. Verse 44 goes on to say, and whoever of you desire to be first shall be slave to all. And then in verse 45, he kind of gives us a very, very pointed scripture when he says this, for even the Son of Man, and that's Jesus, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come down here that others might serve me as a king. I came down here that I might be the king, not in a political way, but in a spiritual way. I came down here as service to my Father. I want to point you in the direction of service to the Father as well. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying it's not about people bringing gifts to you. It's not about people bowing down and talking about how wonderful and how great you are. It's not about the slap on the back or the pat on the back. He says, if you really want to be great in the kingdom of God, then serve somebody. If you really want to do something that's going to be special for the kingdom, do something for someone else. Help them. Be that foot washer. Be that person who's going to take care of a widow. Be that person that as you seek the Lord and as you know what your talents and abilities that he's given you are, use those to serve him and to serve others as you serve him. That's what he gave us those gifts and talents and abilities for. You know, often it's not something that's really big. Sometimes it's something small. Sometimes it's a phone call to say, hey, look, I know that you're over there by yourself. Just want to talk to you for a few minutes and let you know that you're loved and that you're thought about. Sometimes it's making that grocery store run in the midst of this pandemic. You know, sometimes it's being able to say, look, I want you to know that I'm praying for you right now in the middle of what's taking place. Sometimes it may be taking the lawnmower and mowing the grass for somebody. It could very well be that even when you're serving in church, that it's handing out a bulletin or doing various and sundry things, being an usher. Find some way to serve people. Find some way to put on the apron just like Jesus did and serve somebody else. Because Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, then you need to learn how to become a servant. This week, here's what I want you to think about. Not just this week, but every day, really. I want you to prayerfully consider this as we go through the rest of this week. Ask yourself this question, in what ways am I being a servant leader? Yeah, how am I using my gifts and talents and abilities to be that sort of a servant leader for the master? You know, if you're not serving God and others, you know, what does this really say about you? Yeah, you know, does it put you kind of, you know, in the same spectrum as James and John? Yeah, you know, does that put you as the one saying, well, Jesus, I want the bows, I want the waves, I want to be throwing the kisses to the crowd, I want to sit at your right hand, or I want to sit at your left hand? Listen, what does that say about you? Are you a servant leader? It speaks very highly of you if you are a servant leader, but it also speaks volumes about you if you're not. So as you think about those things this week, let me also pose this question and give you this challenge for the week. You know, what is one way that you could become a better servant and a truly greater person as you serve Jesus Christ? You know, obviously we're going to take some hits for being a Christian in this particular world. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be something that's going to be hard to do. And sometimes people shy away from being a servant because, you know, when we go out and do things, we do them in the name of the Father. The Word tells us that even a cool cup of water given in the Master's name is not overlooked by him. But here's the thing we also must understand. It's not because we're just being nice people. It's because we are being the hands and the feet and the voice and the eyes and the ears of the Master. And he called us to serve. Jesus said, I want you to be like me. The term Christian means Christ-like. So are we being Christ-like? Christ said, I came not to be served, but to serve others. If we're being Christ-like, then God has called us to serve others. Are we accepting that challenge? Are we looking daily for ways to serve our Lord by serving other people? That's your challenge for this week. Evaluate that. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and help you determine, you know what, am I doing okay in this area, or do I need a little bit of help? As always, if you need for us to pray for you, you can give us a call or shoot us an email at the church. I'll be happy to talk with you any way we can to give you a little bit better guidance along the way with that. And my hope and my prayer is that even in the midst of pandemic, even in the midst of us not being able to come together as the body of Christ, that doesn't stop the body from being the body. We still need to be those servant leaders for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me have a word of prayer with you. Then I'm going to give you an announcement as we head into Sunday. Please accept the challenge. May we pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to gather around your word. Again, we thank you for the means of technology to be able to reach out to our church family and to our family and to our friends. Lord, I just pray that you will help us to truly consider what the Spirit has been saying to us today through your word in regard to the fact that we need to be servants of yours. Help us, Father, to truly walk like you and to emulate you in being a servant to other people in the name of our Lord and Savior. Help us, Father, as we do that, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for joining us this evening. I do want to let you know, this coming Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, we look forward to having an opportunity to gather once again by way of technology because we're still in the middle of this pandemic. We do have a word from the Lord for you there, but I want to just go ahead and remind you, we do plan to have communion this coming Sunday morning. So as you have an opportunity through the rest of this week, please make preparation for that in your home. If you've got some juice, some wafers, I want to encourage you to have that present and ready. I will give you the directions for communion as we take it. And we look forward to celebrating our Lord and Savior and his resurrection this coming Sunday morning. Also want to thank a very special person in our church who made a very, very special gift for us in the midst of the times that that we're kind of stuck here in the pandemic. This was one of the folks that are doing what they're supposed to do in staying home, but made this this beautiful collage for us to be able to post here at the Central Baptist Church. And I wanted to be able to share that with each and every one of you. We truly appreciate what it is that God is doing in hearts and lives as we think about him. God has slowed us down to where we think about him and have the opportunity to think more about him and to listen, to be still and listen to what it is that God is telling each and every one of us in this time when we have no other recourse other than to call on him. So again, we want to thank you for tonight. We hope that you will be prepared Sunday morning to celebrate the resurrection with us. Know that we love you. It's been very, very hard on our staff being people. We want to reach out and hug you. We want to reach out and shake your hand. We want to be able to get together with you. So we're a little stir crazy here around the office, but the office does remain open. Normal business hours. That's Monday through Thursday from 9 to 4. Once again, we encourage you to maintain your tithing. If you want to bring it by here, you can do so during our church business hours. If you want to mail that in, you can do so at P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27310. Thank you for all that you've done in being a sacrificial giver during these very, very tough times. We look forward to seeing you Sunday. May God bless you and have a wonderful day.